Now listen, let me tell you what the engine done. She left New Orleans about a quarter to one. The engineerman says to me, I gotta make connections with the Santa Fe. The Santa Fe does fairly shout, trying to keep up with the sunset route. The sunset route runs all night, trying to make connections with the old red light. The old red light runs to the sea, trying to keep up with the MKT. The MKT, she runs so fast, she's trying to get along with the Rance's Pass. The Rance's Pass runs all day, trying to make connection with the CNA. CNA sure does dash, trying to keep up with the old Wabash. The old Wabash runs along fine, trying to make connection with the Jersey Central Line. The Jersey Central Line runs a good gait, trying to make connections with the Nickel Plate. The Nickel Plate carries a big load, trying to get along with the Pennsylvania Road. The Pennsylvania Road beats them all, trying to make connection with the Cannonball. And the Cannonball runs through the thicket, trying to keep up with the Missouri Pacific. Missouri Pacific runs like a fountain, trying to make connection with the Iron Mountain. And the Iron Mountain sure does pelt, trying to keep up with the Cotton Belt. The Cotton Belt runs up an alley, trying to make connection with the Lehigh Valley. And the Lehigh Valley hands you the bunk, trying to keep up with the old Grand Trunk. The old Grand Trunk raises cane, trying to make connection with Boston and Maine. And the Boston and Maine flies like a raven, trying to keep up with New York and New Haven. New York and New Haven sure does go, trying to make connection with the B&O. And the B&O steps about, trying to make connection with the Lackawanna Route. The Lackawanna Route sure does roar, trying to keep up with the old West Shore. The old West Shore keeps its time, trying to make connections with the Erie Line. The Erie Line's behind so far, missed the connection with the trolley car. Well, that one kept going and going and going, kept chugging along, didn't it? That was What the Engine Done from 1911. With words and music by Les Copeland. Les Copeland was one of the piano players who, according to testimonials, was always the life of the party. In the 1920s, he moved to Paris and played every night at the Jockey Club, where he'd hang out with other American expatriates, including the poet Ezra Pound. But I've come across Ezra Pound poems before, and that dude couldn't rhyme like Les Copeland could. I'll take What the Engine Done over In Tempore Senectutis any day. But that's just me. And my name is Ethan Uslan, and you are listening to the Carolina Shout podcast, the podcast where I play old-timey piano music and give my little commentary here in my home. And it's a hot summer day today, and I'm thinking that many of you are out there listening to this as you travel. Maybe you're on a train. So I put together a little program of train songs just for you. Let's get started. One of the most interesting train-themed pieces of music that I've ever come across is actually by the great Scott Joplin, and it's called the Crush Collision March. This march is a lot of fun, and it's unusual, and has a wild story behind it. In 1896, the Missouri-Kansas-Texas Railroad Company, the MKT, got the idea to hold a publicity stunt. They had two old locomotives they were going to send to the scrapyard, and they thought, why not go out with a bang? Let's crash them into each other at full speed. Let people watch. So they found an open field outside of Waco, Texas, built a few miles of track just for the collision. They built a grandstand so people could sit and enjoy the spectacle, and a bandstand so people could listen to the music. And they built a big restaurant, and Ringling Brothers sponsored by donating circus tents. And it was free admission. You just had to buy train tickets to get to the spot. And they even built a makeshift jail to imprison pickpockets and any other unwanted riffraff. and it was a big family-friendly festival. The railroad employee whose idea this was named William George Crush. In his honor, the event was called the Crush Collision, and the open field was for that one day only named the city of Crush, Texas. Word spread about this event, and 40,000 people came out to Crush on this fine September day in 1896, and it made Crush, Texas, on that one day, the second largest city in all of Texas. I guess it was like Woodstock without the mud and nudity. It was one day of peace, love, and ragtime. So finally, after a day's worth of festivities, at 5 p.m., it was time for the main event. One train was painted bright green, and the other one painted bright red. To signal the start of the trains, Mr. Crush himself rode to the center of the track on a white horse and threw his hat. The engineers got the trains going, jumped out of the trains, and as the crowd cheered on, they collided head-on at full speed. Unfortunately, the boilers exploded and the shrapnel shot into the crowd, killing 3 people and seriously injuring at least 6. Now, the aftermath, I think, is where things got interesting. People ran out to the wreckage to grab pieces of metal as souvenirs, and by nightfall, every single scrap from the train was gone. And when the newspaper reports came out, the Crush Collision, overall, got great press. Never mind the death and the maiming. There was very little outrage, if any. The media totally downplayed the loss of life and limbs and focused on the thrill of the train crash. Mr. Crush was fired, but rehired the next day and worked for the railroad for the rest of his life. It was rumored that the Crush Collision earned him a big bonus. And guess who else cashed in on this? One of my heroes, Scott Joplin. Now, it's not known if he was at the collision or not, but he was in Texas at the time, touring with his quartet. So it's possible he found time to go to the collision. So he wrote a march entitled The Crush Collision March. And it's one of his earliest published works, published by a small-time publishing company in Temple, Texas. Towards the end of the piece, Scott Joplin paints a picture of the collision with music. You'll hear the first train rumble down the track, and then you'll hear the whistle. And then you hear the second train, and another whistle, and then bang. Then, of course, the music goes back to being happy. And to me, it conjures up the image of all the titillated spectators rushing up to the tracks to get souvenirs of the wreckage. As for all the people getting killed and grievously wounded, you're not supposed to think about that. So when you listen to this march, put it out of your mind. Forget I mentioned it. Think of how fun it would be to go to a festival on a nice September day and watch trains collide. Here it is, the Crush Collision March by Scott Joplin, published in October 1896, just 1 month after the event itself. The crash happens in the last section, and the last section repeats, so we get to hear the train crash twice. Thank you. the humanity! So that was Scott Joplin's Crush Collision March, which on the title page of the music, Scott Joplin dedicated to the memory of those killed at the event. No, it was dedicated to the MKT Railroad, who apparently put on a really good show. Hope you caught the train crash in the music there. I tried to make it pretty obvious. Most performers don't take the repeat. The reasoning goes is because it doesn't make sense to have the trains crash twice. But I disagree. I believe that the only thing better than a big fiery train crash is two big fiery train crashes. Well, it's hard to find anything more exciting than a good old-fashioned train crash, but here's something that might come close. This one was requested to me on Twitter by Dax King, who requests the hold-up rag. Now, thank you, Mr. King, if that's your real name, for requesting this. I had never heard of it before, and you brought it to my attention, and man, I love this. I mean, it's about a train holdup. What's not to love? Here it is, the holdup rag from 1912.
Mr. Engineer, now looky here, there's someone down along the track. See that wicked eye, he's do or die, hear his pistol going crack. Hide your watch and chain, and stop the train, put on the brakes and let her drag.
For you certainly gotta hand it to this gentlemanly bandit when he makes you do the hold up rag.
Here he comes,
hands up, everybody hands up, get out and do the hold up rag. Pardon me for giving you a shock. Don't you hide that diamond in your sock. It's a rock, it's a rock, it'll hock. Give it up! Shell out, shell out! Don't you dare to yell out. Drop your pearls and diamonds in the bag. All aboard, clang, clang, toot, toot, bang, bang. Stick 'em up! It's a hold-up rag. That's right, just drop it in the bag. Oh, is that sapphire? Lovely. Drop it in, thank you. Drop it in, ma'am, thank you. Lovely, lovely. Just drop it in the bag. Have a great day, thanks.
So there you have it. The Hold Up Rag from 1912, lyrics by Edward Madden, and music by Egbert Van Alstein. Not names that you hear much anymore, but both of those guys were quite prolific during the ragtime years. I'm sure we'll hear more of their work on this podcast. And thank you to Dax King for requesting this song. Dax, if I can call you Dax, if you know any more hold-up songs, let me know. I'll play them gladly. No need to put a gun to my head. Okay, this train-themed episode of the Carolina Shout podcast is about to reach its final destination, so let's honor a train that doesn't crash and doesn't get held up at gunpoint. Let's hop on board the Ole Miss, which was known as the fastest train out of Memphis, immortalized by W.C. Handy, father of the blues, in his 1916 classic, Ole Miss. Thank you. Okay, we have reached our final destination, Jackson, Mississippi. Your porter will help you with your luggage now. Thanks for riding the Ole Miss. Let's roll the credits. Thank you for listening to the Carolina Shout podcast. I'm your conductor, Ethan Uslin. Kate Uslin is our chief mechanical and audio engineer woman. Thanks to Dax King for requesting the hold-up rag. Dax, you have been upgraded to first class. Oh, and don't forget, everybody, mark your calendar for the Carolina Shout Festival. We're going to drop a piano from my private Cessna. I bought a private plane with my podcast earnings. We're going to drop a piano. I assure you, it's going to be very safe. In the unlikely event that you are killed or maimed by the piano debris, you get one of my CDs totally free. So it's a win-win. Be sure to stay tuned for the next episode. If everything goes according to plan, I'm going to have His Holiness, Pope Francis, live in the podcast studio. It's going to be great. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Oh, and please go to iTunes and leave a review. Tell everybody how life-changing this podcast is so we can change more lives. Thank you. Also, I wanted to let you know about a campaign I'm taking part in called Two Pods a Day. It aims to introduce podcast listeners to two independent podcasts every day for the month of August. We hope to give visibility to some of the great indie podcasts that you probably haven't heard of. Hashtag Two Pods a Day encourages you to listen more. Listen indie. Find more shows like mine by following hashtag Two Pods a Day on Twitter and Facebook.